This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Our first guest this morning is Dr. Jennifer Haley. She's a board-certified dermatologist who will prep us and our skin for a sunny summer filled with, that overexposure to the UV rays that we get here at high elevation. We always need reminders, and it's important to know what's new in dermatology and sunscreen and how to avoid skin cancer. Dr. Jennifer Haley, welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you back.
Thank you. So happy to be back. I'm glad you invited me again.
Yes. Well, last year we talked about, I don't even remember what we talked about, but I do remember that we could have spent about an hour with you.
Easily.
We only have about 18 minutes, so we'll get right in there. So let's start with sunscreens. And we were talking before about these things that we've heard about sunscreens, like you should throw them out after a year because they no longer do what they're supposed to do. We talked about the chemicals in sunscreens, and maybe you can kind of take us back over that. And is there anything new we should know about?
Sure, absolutely. Well, your sunscreen should never last a year if you're using it properly.
Good point.
that's where I go with that conversation. But when you're looking for a sunscreen, I try to make it as simple as possible because it gets pretty complicated and the labels get pretty complicated. And what I look for in a sunscreen is basically zinc oxide. Zinc oxide will cover UVA and UVB rays. And when you're looking at an SPF alone, SPF is only based off of the rating on how well it protects you from UVB rays. Now, unfortunately, UVA rays are the deeply penetrating rays, the rays we're getting through the windows right now. They can cause chronic sun damage to the face without you even realizing. So some people will say, I'll only wear sunscreen when I'm outside. Well, when you're driving in the car, when you're sitting next to a window, and there's very clear evidence, there's pictures you can find on the internet of truck drivers, secretaries that have worked next to windows their entire lives, and the significant sun damage done on that side of the face from the deeply penetrating UVA rays. So I know with zinc oxide, when it's applied properly, it will protect UVA and UVB from penetrating into the skin. So I have people apply it to what I call the high real estate areas of the face, the neck, and the chest, and then swish the back of your arms before you leave the house every day. And you're going to get coverage for that incidental sort of rays that you're coming into contact with when you're not out in the sun. So when you think you're not out in the sun, you're still getting at least 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day adds up to a week, an hour a week, 50 hours a year, 52 hours a year. So would you go to the beach without wearing any sun protection for 52 hours? The answer is no. So I feel that most people are very well covered if they wear an SPF 30 or higher, and with zinc oxide, they're going to get all the rays covered. So that's how I simplify that.
I like that. So because zinc oxide isn't the most attractive thing to put on your face because it turns you white, I think companies have developed clear zinc oxide. And I've always wondered, is that really the same thing, or are they removing what is really what we're trying to get from zinc oxide, which is the physical barrier?
Exactly. It's a physical barrier, so it's dependent on how thickly it's applied. And one of the tricks that I tell people, instead of going from the central part of your face to the outer part of your face, go the opposite way. Start outer, where we tend to get most of the brown spots, and blend inward. And there's really some elegant formulations out there now with sunscreens. Not nanoparticles. We really don't want to put nanoparticles of any chemical on our face. Although zinc oxide is inert, it's not a chemical. It's just a barrier. But they are micronized particles, which means they kind of smash it down small enough to become cosmetically elegant, which is a lot different than what we had 20, 30 years ago. The difference is the price. So when you're looking for something with zinc oxide, SPF 30 or higher, you're going to pay more for something that's cosmetically elegant. And they come in clear, they come in tinted formulations, really something for everyone. So you have to find what you're going to use.
Are they easy to find?
They're getting easier. So, I mean, about 10 years ago, I really couldn't find many products like Neutrogena or Aveeno, good products over the counter that had zinc in it. But now they both make some great products. My favorite lines are Elta MD, Elastin, Alastin. They make good products. Those are usually carried in physician offices, although you can find them online fairly readily. But Neutrogena and Aveeno both make zinc products nowadays.
Well, that's good to hear. I love Aveeno. It's almost like a skin lotion for me. And I have a real problem with any kind of lotion. It has to be a certain type that doesn't get oily, but kind of blends in and, mm-hmm. and moisturizes my skin, which I like. But the other kind I can't tolerate very well. I mean, I guess I could if I had to, but I opt not to. But the Aveeno I think that I'm using is only SPF. I've never seen a zinc oxide notice on that. I'm going to have to look a little more closely. But you think I mean, people can find that in their pharmacy, at their grocery store.
Absolutely.
And you just have to pay attention to that zinc oxide.
Just flip it over like you would a nutrition label and look at the ingredients, and it'll say zinc oxide on there. I really stay away from the chemicals. We just don't know the long-term effects, and we're finding more and more problems from destruction of our coral reefs to...
I was going to ask you about that, because I just mm-hmm. read an article, again, that resurfaces every now and then, and in my newsfeed yesterday, literally... popped up.
Destruction. I think I'm quoted in that article.
Are you? Yeah.
I think so.
So talk a little bit about
that. Yeah. And I lived in Hawaii, so I have, I have some heart in this matter. In Hawaii is where I learned about rash guards. So people who live in these tropical environments in the water, clothing and hats are going to be your best protection, better than sunscreen. So if you are in the water, I highly recommend wearing shirts. You're just not going to get the coverage. You're going to get false sense of security with sunscreen than with clothing. Zinc oxide is, like I said, fairly inert. So it's a mineral, and it really hasn't shown any destruction to the environment. But octinoxate, oxybenzone, they've both been forbidden, basically, in Hawaii and I think Australia as well.
And it's a real issue. There's enough destruction from those chemicals.
Absolutely.
Because I read it and I was like, really? Are enough people entering the ocean with sunscreen that it's damaging the coral reefs?
Yeah, I mean, who knows how long it's been going on for, right, and how much more damage it's going to do. So, you know, I'm glad we're taking a step up and protecting things sooner rather than later, right, because we need that water.
And
it's the basis
reefs
of life. Yeah.
You mentioned oxybenzone. I know avobenzone is also one of the ingredients in a lot of sunscreens. That one's a chemical as well.
It is. You know, and most dermatologists are not anti-avobenzone because it does provide UVA and UVB protection, but I really just don't like the chemical sunscreens. I mean, we have great alternatives. Mm-hmm. So why use them?
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years ago, I got one of those blue light treatments from my dermatologist. And boy, it really hits home because afterwards, you feel every bit of UV rays coming in anywhere. I mean, even if I were, you know, like I am right now, about 8 feet away from a window, I would have felt it. It's painful. And if for nothing else, that treatment was really great to make me cognizant of exactly what you said before, what dermatologists tell us, but we never really believe, that UV rays penetrate windows from a long distance.
If you don't need a flashlight, you're getting UV. That's what's lighting up the air. So if we don't need a flashlight, we're getting some light, right? So it's the truth of it. And, you know, there's a fine line between being fearful and not living your life and being wise about it. So you'll see me walking by and I'll always be wearing a hat and, you know, but I'm still outside. We're still enjoying it. There are a couple sunscreen pills. I hate to use the word sunscreen pill because they shouldn't be used in place of a sunscreen, but they can really help supplement the skin and help prevent DNA damage at the cellular level for any UV or any free radical damage that gets through. And those can be found both over the counter. One is called HelioCare, Helio, H-E-L-I-O Care. And the other one is SunSafe RX. And they come from a natural fern block extract called Polypodium leucotomus. And they just help increase and boost the protection in your skin. The same as a Mediterranean diet that's high in antioxidant-rich foods. Studies have shown that if you eat tomatoes daily, best submerged in oil that are cooked because it's absorbed better, the lycopene is absorbed better, it will actually increase your protection in your skin over time. You don't do it right before you go in the sun, but for weeks beforehand.
That's interesting. I've heard about diet having an impact on your pigment or your skin's ability to protect itself from sunburn and to tan. And somebody pitched me on that concept a number of years ago, telling me that they didn't ever use sunscreen lotion to protect. They just did it through diet. And I was very skeptical. But it's interesting.
There's something to that. You know,
there is something to that.
White processed foods we're eating are not doing any good for our skin. The more color, all of those phytonutrients, the color in the fruits and vegetables protects the fruits and vegetables. So when we consume it, it protects us. Almost like when you consume salmon, or salmon consumes the krill oil and the algae, it turns the astaxanthin and it turns it the pink color. And when we eat that, gives us a nice glow in our skin. So these pigments are transferred, and they have the natural protective effect also transferred to the skin. So if, you know, you don't want to use sunscreen at all, which I have to recommend you use it at least, I really only use it to face and neck and chest, and then I cover up the rest or do the other things we've talked about, then, you know, increase the benefits in your diet, take some supplements, things like that, that can truly benefit you in many ways.
And of course, there are people with different pigment in their skin naturally. I mean, we have the olive skin folks and then the very fair and light folks. And the very fair and light folks probably have to really wear the hat and the shirts and cover up. That's the best means. But if you do have that olive high pigment skin, can you be more exposed, or are you doing the same level of damage?
So it's a catch-22, because the more pigment you have in your skin, the more difficult it is for you to make vitamin D from the sun. So you have to be exposed to the sun longer to make vitamin D from the sun. But our skin does make vitamin D from the sun if we're living to 46 years of age, like we were in 1900. That would be fine, because we wouldn't have to worry about dying from skin cancer. But now we're living to 80, 90, 100 and beyond. So we really want to protect that outer coating of our skin from skin cancer, infection, all the sorts of things that our skin protects us against. So that's why we really don't want to use the sun to make vitamin D as much anymore. But going back to dark skin patients, while they might not get the significance of sun damage as a fair skin patient, they still have other issues, pigment issues, especially like if someone gets a pimple or a scratch, all the pigment cells go to the area and it leaves more pigment. So if they're getting a lot of sun, it's going to leave more discoloration after that goes away.
Mm. Lynn, guess what I found out?
What?
In my recent physical, I'm vitamin D deficient.
Most
and
of
a
us
lot
are.
Of people are.
Even people who never wear sunscreen, we still do not convert it from the sun as well after age 30, 35.
So is that to say then that those with darker skin would be more likely to be vitamin D deficient?
Absolutely. Oh. Chicago, it's a really big problem. Washington, D.C., a really big problem. I basically recommend vitamin D supplementation for everyone. And I heard a really great pearl the other day that if someone doesn't want to take vitamin D supplementation, or they want to do something more naturally, you can get a shiitake mushroom, put even after it's, you know, fully grown and plucked, and put it out in the sun for about an hour, and it makes enough vitamin D for you to
you
consume.
Are kidding.
I know, it's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are brown spots when you get them in these areas that are, what? How did you refer to the areas that are most likely to get, you know, the most sun exposure on your face? You called them something.
High value real estate.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I trained in California, so that tells you, although Park City's the same, right?
Yes.
High real estate areas. So, you know, we have the high real estate areas like our face and our neck and our chest and our hands, which often tell somebody's age. And, you know, you can get brown spots, and not all brown spots are the same. So age spots or liver spots on the back of the hand that also happen on the face are not related to age. They're 100% related to sun. And I'll often point that out to someone, you know, by looking at their inner upper arm. This is the natural age of your skin, and there's no sunspots there. So when skin is exposed to sun over a long period of time, what happens is instead of getting that even brown color that we get when we're young, we end up getting irregular pigmentation, because the body becomes less efficient. The skin's, you know, the pigment cells kind of burn out, and some pigment cells overdo it and they get brown little islands, and other areas burn out, and that causes little white areas. So people will often say, why do I have white areas and then brown areas and then normal skin in between? And that's just what sun does over time, stimulating the pigment cells to form. There's a second type of pigmentation that's really common that I see called melasma, more common in women than men. And we call it the mask of pregnancy because it tends to happen during pregnancy or after someone initiates oral contraception. There's a hormone variant to it, and that's very difficult to treat on the face, and strict sun protection is always recommended with that. The third type of pigment that I see is called post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. So after you get a cut or a rash or a pimple, especially if you're darker skinned or middle skin tone, Hispanic or Asian, what happens is When there's inflammation, all of the melanocytes, the pigment cells in the skin, flock to the area. They think there's a party going on. Then the rash resolves, the pigment stays, sticks around. It's like an uninvited guest, and it stays around for many, many months.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Is there any real way to get rid of those brown spots? I see some cosmetic companies advertising that, oh, you just put on the brown spot remover, whatever they call it, and does it work?
Well, I wish it was that easy. So the reason I mentioned those three different types is because it's really important to differentiate in order to decide what treatment is going to be best. So with sunspots or age spots, liver spots, all the same, different terms, those are best treated with laser because they're static. They're not going to change. They're there all the time. They're a very static pigmentation. So laser will just kind of zap them. They'll flake away like paint. Great way to do it. The other types of pigmentation are what we call dynamic. So if heat is involved, it can make it worse. So the last thing you want to do is laser because that can make it worse. So that's why you need to go to an expert and somebody knows the difference between brown spots. Mm. In all cases, you can use some lightening creams. There's something called arbutin from mushrooms. There's hydroquinone, which is a little bit controversial because it's a chemical involved. It does great at lightening skin cells, but it has been shown to be carcinogenic in rats. Although, in my opinion, I don't think a small surface area over a short period of time is going to cause harm to humans. And then there's niacinamide, which is anti-inflammatory. There are a lot of lightening agents out there, but they always need to be used in conjunction with strict sun protection. Hats, clothing, sunscreen on a daily basis. Otherwise, it's just like building a new house while your house is still on fire. There's no point. So...
I like that. Hey, before we let you go, we need to talk a little bit about acne.
Sure.
We have teenagers. We have hormonal women. Yeah. At my ripe age, my tender age, I'll say, just a couple weeks ago, I had this breakout I haven't had for about 30 years. And I thought, what's going on here? So, but let's talk about it regarding teenagers because it's more ubiquitous. Are there new products that are on the market that we don't necessarily have to go see a dermatologist?
There are. There absolutely are. Since we last spoke last year, there's a product that has been in dermatologists' hands for many years called Differin that now can be found over the counter in most drugstores for about $15. And it's a vitamin A derivative that helps unplug the skin cells and resurface the skin, which is one component of acne. So when we look at acne, there's four main components. There's plugging of skin cells, hormone, inflammation, and bacteria. So depending on the skin type, I find that the Differin works really well for what I call the sandpaper acne, the blackheads and whiteheads. And when you're dealing with inflammatory acne, the red types, I like just benzoyl peroxide, higher percentages and better, 5% over the counter, something that's in a base that's not going to strip your skin, that's well tolerated. So, you know, a good initial regimen for over-the-counter for teenage acne would be a benzoyl peroxide wash one or two times a day and then Differin at night, just a pea-sized amount to the acne area. I love talking about adult hormonal acne, so that will have to be to be continued because it's a great topic.
How often do people need to see their dermatologist?
So we recommend a full skin check once a year. And even when you're young, when you're low risk of getting a skin cancer, it really is an educational moment. It's a time to discuss what to look for, how to take care of your skin, and then to diagnose things if they are early. I have seen melanoma in as young as 16 years old, and it was the size of a dot of a pen. And she just had a bad feeling about it. Very intuitive girl. And it's been found earlier than that. So melanoma is one of the top cancers in 20 to 35 year olds. So if anyone has anything that I call an ugly duckling, something that looks different than the rest of the family, needs to get checked out.
Dr. Jennifer Haley, thank you so much for joining us again.